All right. Well, this is this will be our last class. With that being said, I might be kind of go. So we'll be trying to get through some of this, but again, please get my attention. Let me looking up. So lesson day, and appreciate that. And lesson number 9, we're going to be looking at 2 Kings chapter 16, and some material that we'll be covering will be from those books, 2 Kings 16 and 17 and 2 Chronicles 28. In 2 Kings 16:1, I'll put in the lesson, because again, this gives us time reference. So it says, in the 17th year of Pekah, Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, became king. The time of Pekah, that's when Ahaz becomes king. And I also asked a question on the lesson, was he a good king or was he a bad king? he was Jotham. But Ahaz was very bad king, the worst king out of the southern kingdom, or out of Judah. And whose example did he follow? Okay, the kings of Israel. And we've seen their example over and over in the 'cause they were all bad kings. So that's the example that he followed, Israel. Yes, ma'am. We're going to see that too. Yes, ma'am. I mean, he had a lot of things that he was into, if you will, in from other things. But it does state the influence of Israel. And remember, they picked up things from. And again, this is just some more time reference. If you're doing your chart, came king. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord, his God. He walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and even made his son pass through the fire, according to the abomination of the nations whom the Lord had driven out from before the sons of Israel. And that's some of the things that Miss Linda was talking about. And he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. So you're going to see all these things all these practices that he did. He practiced idolatry, even to the point of where it said that he had his sons pass through the fire. And then in these first couple of verses, you know, it tells him some things about the king himself, but then once you get to verse 5, it's going to start talking about some other things that are taking place during this time. And let's read verse 5. It says, then Rezin, king of Aram, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war. And they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him. At that time, Rezin, king of Aram, recovered Elath for Aram and cleared the Judeans out of Elath entirely. And the Arameans came to Elath and have lived there to this day. So the king of Aram and the king of Israel come up against Ahaz. And we see what Ahaz does. But, you know, kind of like we've been doing, we'll look at some things in Kings, and then we'll look at some things we can learn from Chronicles. So let's turn over to Chronicles for a minute and see what it has to say. Now, in Chronicles, I want to back up just a little bit so we can see some of these things that it mentions about this idolatry of Ahaz. And we'll see some other things mentioned here that we didn't see in Kings. So in 2 Chronicles 28, we'll read verses 2 through 4. It says that, talking about Ahaz, but he walked in the way, or he walked in the ways of the king of Israel. He also made molten images for the Baals. Moreover, he burned incense in the valley of Ben-Hinnom and burned his sons in fire, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had driven out before the sons of Israel. He sacrificed and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. So we see how the two kings come up against him, Aram and the king of Israel. It says, where? And let's see how it's worded here. It's worded a little different. It says, wherefore, defeated him and carried away, delivered him into the hand of the king of Aram. And they defeated him and carried. He was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who inflicted him with heavy casualties. For Pekah, the son of Remaliah, slew in Judah 120,000 in one day, all valiant men, because they had forsaken the God of their fathers. And Zichri, the mighty man of Ephraim, slew Maaseiah, the king's son, and Azrikam, the ruler of the house of Elkanah, the second to the king. The sons of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons and daughters, and they took also a great deal of spoil from them and brought the spoil to Samaria. So we see, well, we're going to get to a part here where it starts talking about this prophet of the Lord speaks to Israel and what they are doing. In verse 9, it says, but a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Oded, and he went out to meet the army which came to Samaria and said to them, behold, because the Lord, the God of your fathers, was angry with Judah, he has delivered them into your hand. And you have slain them in a rage which has even reached heaven. And one that's going to read says, the Lord was angry with Judah and delivered them into the hand of Israel. And what does the Lord say concerning the way that they handled this? Okay, his anger burned against them because the way that they had done this, slain them in a rage. And it says that it even went on to say that it had reached heaven. He's on in verse 10, it says, and now you are proposing to subjugate for yourselves the people of Judah and Jerusalem for male and female slaves. Surely, do you not have transgressions of your own? So the Lord warns them. Like I said, because we're moving along pretty good. Like I said, if you have any questions, just get my attention. Any comments or questions or thoughts? No? Okay. So it says in verse 11, it says, now therefore, listen to me and return the captives whom you... So we see here that the anger of the Lord is against them. And we're still in Chronicles, in verse 12, Azariah, the son of Johanan, Berechiah, the son of Meshulamoth, Jehezekiah, the son of Shalem, and Amasa, the son of Hadlai, arose against those four. You are proposing to bring upon us guilt against the Lord, adding to our sins and our guilt. For our sin, our guilt is great, so that his burning anger is against the sons of Ephraim. We're trying to warn those that were coming in from the battle. It said not to bring these captives. And so the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the officers and all the assembly. Then the men who were designated by name arose, took the captives, and they clothed all their naked ones from the spoil, and they gave them clothes and sandals, fed them and gave them drink, anointed them with oil, led all their feeble ones on donkeys, and brought them to Jericho, city of palm trees, to their brothers. Then they returned to Samaria. So we see that they what they did for them, and that they clothed them from the spoils and took care of them. On the lesson, I put, who does King Ahaz go to for help? Who's he going to go to get help? Okay, King of Assyria. So he goes to King Assyria for help. And we see this in both in Kings and Chronicles. And we'll stay in Chronicles for now, and then we'll jump over in a little bit. But at the time of King Ahaz, it says in verse 16, at that time King Ahaz sent to the kings of Assyria for help. For again the Edomites had come and attacked Judah and carried away captives. The Philistines also had invaded the cities of the lowland and of the Negev of Judah, and had taken Beth Shemesh, Ajalon, Gederoth, and Soko with its villages, Timnah with its villages, and Gimzo with its villages, and they settled there. Then it says, for the Lord humbled Judah because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he had brought about a lack of restraint in Judah and was very unfaithful to the Lord. I mean, again, we see his actions toward the Lord, and, you know, that he was very unfaithful to the Lord. So Tilgath-Pilneser, king of Assyria, came against him and afflicted him instead of strengthening him. Although Ahaz took a portion out of the house of the Lord and out of the place of the king, or the palace of the king and the princes, and gave to the king of Syria, it did not help him. So we see that he gave him a gift, or he took these things and gave him a gift, but it says here that it still did not help him. But we will see that the king of Assyria does go up against Aram. So we can see that when we jump back over to Kings, 2 Kings. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, and we saw that in some other examples that we've seen before this. Yeah, you would think that, well, they definitely know better, but you would think that they would do better, but they don't listen, because God sins over and over, like you said, prophets, and we've seen this and we'll continue to see that. That idea that God warns, but they don't listen. So in, let's see, where 2 Kings, in chapter 16, let's look at verse 7. It says, so, and this is kind of backing up a little bit, some of what we saw, but it says, so Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I am your servant and your son. Come up and deliver me from the hand of the king of Aram and from the hand of the king of Israel, who are rising up against me. So, you know, that is who he is looking to for help. And we, like we said, we've seen this in other instances, you know, because we think of this, well, we see stuff going back and forth right here. They, brain died for a second. Judah, because of Ahaz and the way that he was doing things and not serving God, and he's doing all of these following these idols and all these things. We're going to see more as we go a little further. But so we see God sending the king of Israel and Aram to do something about that. It's because of his actions. But then we also see, on the other hand, that, you know, they're not handling things in a way that's pleasing God either. And then right here we see in verse 8, like we said, that Ahaz is trying to seek help from elsewhere. And in verse 8 it says, Ahaz took the silver and gold that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house and sent a present to the king of Assyria. So he's sending him money or things. They use the term present a lot of the time to the king. But remember what we saw in Chronicles. But here it does tell us that, and the king of Assyria went up against Damascus and captured it and carried the people away into exile. See some of the things that the king of Assyria still does, even though it says that, you know, he wasn't totally with Ahaz. What does King Ahaz have built? He sees something when he's in Damascus. Okay, so he's in Damascus and he sees this altar. And again, we said that, you know, he's into all of this idolatry. So here's something else that he sees. And so he wants to duplicate this altar, which is in Damascus. And in 2 Kings 16, we'll see it going into talking about some of that in verse 10. It says, now King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and saw the altar which was at Damascus. And King Ahaz sent to Urijah the priest the pattern of the altar and its model according to all its workmanship. So he's sending this to the priest so that it can be duplicated. So Urijah the priest built an altar according to all that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus. Thus Urijah the priest made it before the coming of King Ahaz from Damascus. When the king came from Damascus, the king the king saw the altar, then the king approached the altar and went up to it. And you might have a footnote that says, or offered on it. And he burned his offering and his meal offering, or he burned his burnt offering and his meal offering, and poured his drink offering and sprinkled the blood of his peace offerings on the altar. The bronze altar, which was before the Lord, he brought from the front of the house, from between his altar and the house of the Lord, and he put it on the north side of his altar. Then King Ahaz commanded Urijah the priest, saying, upon the great altar, burn the morning altar, or burn the morning burnt offering, the evening meal offering, and the king's burnt offering, and his meal offering, with the burnt offering of all the people of the land, and their meal offering, and their drink offerings, and sprinkle on it all the blood of the burnt offering, and all the blood of the sacrifice. But the bronze altar shall be for me to inquire by. So Urijah the priest did according to all the king Ahaz commanded. And then King Ahaz cut off the borders of the stands and removed the labor from them, and also took down the sea from the bronze oxen which were under it and put it on the pavement of stone. The covered way for the Sabbath which they had built in the house, and the outer entry of the king, he removed from the house of the Lord because of the king of Assyria. So you see these things. He's adding this stuff. He's moving around all this stuff that talks about that he was doing. And we see more over in Chronicles as well. In chapter 28, 2 Chronicles 28. Verse 22 tells us that now in a time of his distress, the same King Ahaz became yet more unfaithful to the Lord. And it goes on to tell us why. And it says, for he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, talking about this, which had been defeated, or which had defeated him, and said, because the gods of the kings of Aram, let me say that again, because the gods of the kings of Aram helped them, I will sacrifice to them that they may help me. But they became a downfall of him and all of Israel. So he's got a wrong way of thinking here. Now, we've seen this also similar. It's different because when you think about what Amaziah did, he had a wrong way of thinking as well back in 2 Chronicles 25. But remember, he had brought back the gods of Seir, and he was worshiping to them. And we'll jump over there for just a second. In chapter 25, 15. You know, because remember what God's question was. It said, because the anger of the Lord burned again, you know. And he sent him a prophet who said to him, so again, you know, you have talking to these prophets, giving warnings and talking to these kings, their own people from your hand. Now, remember, in that case, you know, those he had defeated them, but yet he was still going to offer things to their God. And in this case, it's a little different, but it's still similar in the case that they are still offering to these gods of these other lands. So his thinking here, Ahaz, is saying, well, you know, they defeated me, so I'm going to offer it to these gods of the people that defeated me. The wrong thinking. Because they know which God they should be going to. Verse like Miss Linda was saying, you know, God has sent prophet over and over and warned these kings, and yet they still get wrapped up in serving these other gods. Yes, sir. He's yes, sir. Well, it brings up a good point. The priests had duties that they should be doing as well. And in this case, you don't see the priest even trying to go against anything that the king was saying. But that wasn't the case in Amaziah. Remember, they warned him and got him out of there. And then plus when they saw the leprosy. Any other comments or thoughts? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, because I mean, you think about how long he allowed things to go on, and we'll see that. We might get to that part, you know, because it'll be referencing back that some of what we're going to read is going to be talking about a little over 200 years. And then when we get to that time in 722. So we also see that Ahaz gathered together all the utensils of the house of God, and he cuts them up into pieces and closed the doors of the house of the Lord and made altars for himself in every corner of Jerusalem. So he closes this up and makes altars for himself. And in every city of Judah, he made high places to burn incense to other gods. And he provoked the Lord, the God of his fathers, to anger. So Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city in Jerusalem, for they did not bring him into the tombs of the king of Israel. And Hezekiah his son reigned in his place. But you think about all these things that he did, you know, serving these other gods, if you will, instead of serving the one true God. Because that's what God was trying to warn them against, the, you know, sending the prophets. Yet, we see over and over that these kings, especially in the northern kingdom, you know, we saw them, all the idolatry and the different things like that. But this was in the southern kingdom, and he was the worst king in that kingdom. Any other thoughts or comments before we continue on to the next section? Yes, sir, go ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. So we see warning after warning, yet that doesn't change them. You know, they still do what they want to do. They, and one of the parts where it was talking about that that he made idols or he did these things for himself, these altars for himself in every corner of the Jerusalem. No, it wasn't about God, and you know their reasoning, because they definitely know who God is, because they would know without a doubt from the things that they would see about them and things that have gone on throughout time. They know who the God of Israel is. Yet they would, you know, we see these kings, some of them choosing not to serve that God, and we definitely see that with Ahaz. And anybody else? Yeah, Alex is right. I mean, anything that we're going to put in above God, we're going to do those things. That's the same idea. That's serving idols. That's true. Anybody else? In 2 Kings 16 and then Chronicles, what we looked at, 2 Chronicles 28. We were talking about the southern kingdom. Now we're going to look at chapter 17, and this will talk about the northern kingdom. So in chapter 17, back in Kings, so 2 Kings 17. So since this is the northern kingdom, we're not going to have a reference in Chronicles. But in 17, verse 1, again, how a lot of these chapters start, just giving some information about the time who was reigning in one of the kingdoms when the other became a king, and some time references, how long they've reigned and different things like that. And those were some of the things we were capturing in our chart, if you're filling that out. So it's, because it's a helpful tool. Once you finish filling that out, you can look at the different kings and see when they reigned, or, you know, at what time of the other kings and things like that. But in 2 Kings 17, verse 1, it says, "In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah," which we were just speaking of, "Hoshea, the son of Elah, became king over Israel and Samaria." And it says that he reigned for 9 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, only not as the kings of Israel who were before him. Now, on the lesson, I put a question on there asking who bound Hoshea in prison. Okay, king of Assyria. So you're going to make me say his name, huh? Shalmaneser or something, somewhere in there. So, yes, ma'am. The king of Assyria bound Hoshea in prison. It says that the king of Assyria came up against him, and Hoshea became his servant and paid him tribute. But the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, who had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and had offered no tribute to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. So the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. So we're seeing here that year by year he has been given tribute. But then we see where it's talking about So, king of Egypt. You know, he had sent messengers to him and then stopped giving tribute to Assyria, or the king of Assyria. So then the king of Assyria invaded the whole land and went up to Samaria and besieged it for 3 years. So who carried Israel away into exile? Assyria. And now it's talking about in the ninth year of this king, ninth year of King Hoshea, the king of Assyria, captured Samaria and carried Israel away into exile to Assyria and settled them in Hala and Habar on the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. And what does the text say caused this to happen? What caused this exile? Okay. So, and that's like Miss Linda brought that up earlier. Yes, this Israel's sin. And also the kings caused Israel to sin. We've seen that idea throughout all these different chapters. We see that Israel sinned, and or these kings have sinned, and they have caused Israel to sin. Excuse me. In verse 7, it says, "Now this came about because of the sons of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up from the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and they had feared other gods." What is that pointing to when it words it that way? Right. So they had reason to know who this God is. Yet it says that they had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up from the land of Egypt. And verse 8, it says, "They walked in the customs of the nations whom the Lord had driven out before the sons of Israel, and in the customs of the kings of Israel, which they had introduced." Or your footnote could say statutes, literally statutes. So they feared. It states that they feared other gods, but we know that they were not to worship any other god except for the God of Israel. But we see that they feared other gods and that they're sacrificing these things, or this idolatry, the forms of idolatry which they're doing. And note that it says these customs. It said customs of other nations that they had adopted. So the kings caused them to sin in that way. But also note that it says at the end of verse 8, it says, "And in the customs of the kings which they introduced," or literally they made. So these customs were made by some of these kings. And, you know, one of them, who do you think of? Who is mentioned over and over out of the kings of Israel? You know, we see this idea over and over, and that's King Jeroboam. So, and this, in which we're not going to have time to read it, but it's even going to, throughout this chapter, it's going to talk about the golden calves and the different things like that. So, we see that he introduced those things, and it saw that, or it noted that he caused Israel to sin. And we see the same things with these other kings and how they caused Israel to sin. And I'm being buzzed. So I appreciate y'all's attention and all the good comments for this class. And y'all's hope that y'all have benefited some from it. And so the next class, starting Sunday, will be on the family. So thank you all.